Gentrification can revive declining neighborhoods, but commentator Betty Baye says there's also something that's lost when longtime residents are forced out.
Felix Gillette's recent article in New York's Village Voice newspaper had me laughing and crying at the same time. I mean, laughing that there actually was a gang of drug dealers in New York City's Washington Heights neighborhood in the 1990s named the Jerry Curls. But there they were in mugshots, the gang's leaders, the Martinez brothers, Lorenzo, Julian, Daniel, and Cesar, sporting what Gillette described as long, loose, and greasy Jerry Curls. A disclaimer here. I once wore a Jerry Curl, but that was in the early 80s. By the 1990s, the Jerry Curl had played out, except in the South and with some older black women who wear Jerry Curls to this day, because grease spots on the pillows notwithstanding, wearing a curl beats wearing a wig. And shh, don't tell anybody, but some young sisters today wear Jerry Curls, but they keep their ringlets cut short, thinking maybe that someone can be fooled into believing that they've got Halle Berry hair. But I won't go there. Anyhow, the not funny part of Gillette's tale of the Jerry Curls, which he described as one of the most violent and best branded of the Dominican gangs in Nueva York, is that the gang made millions selling cocaine and terrorizing a community. One Jerry Curl reportedly shot a girlfriend in the kneecap for joking about his limp. And a neighbor who openly complained about the gang's drug dealing out of their old headquarters at 550 West 157th Street died of a bullet wound to the head. Most people in the building were too terrified to complain, and some believed that the murdered man should have minded his business. But fast forward, and today most of the Jerry Curls are serving hard time. But even if they did get out of jail, there'd be no place for the Jerry Curls back in the old neighborhood, because there's a new gang in town. I guess you could call them the gentrifications, because they're clearing out poor blacks, Latinos, and elderly folks on fixed income from inner city neighborhoods across the country, including the Jerry Curl's old stomping grounds. Drawn by such amenities as river views, parks, large rooms, and convenience to public transportation, the gentrifications are willing to pay almost any price, oh so it seems, to live in grand old buildings that long were the domain of poor folks on rent control, buildings that are being reborn as luxury co-ops and condos. The gentrification of inner city neighborhoods may seem to some as nothing but the inevitable circle of life, since most of those grand neighborhoods began as middle class and white. But once white folks fled to the burbs, these neighborhoods transitioned to middle class and colored. And when the middle class coloreds followed the middle class white to the burbs, poor folks, Latinos, blacks, and immigrants moved in. And now that they're being forced out, the children and grandchildren of the better off people who left are coming back to claim what perhaps many of them see as their rightful inheritance. I can't say that I'm sad to hear about the Jerry Curl's demise and the replacement of a hardcore drug-dealing gang with baby strollers and dog walkers, but I do wish the gentrifications would leave some turf to the people who've been there for so many years. This new gang may be wielding Blackberries instead of guns and shooting up on Starbucks instead of Coke, but they're having an effect on longtime residents that is not completely wholesome and a little bit sad as well.
Betty Baye is a columnist with the Courier Journal in Louisville, Kentucky. To hear more on our real estate series, go to our website at npr.org.